We're right in the middle of National Haiku Writing Month, and KJZZ's Weekend Edition host and poet in residence, Tom Maxedon, joins us now for an update on the show's haiku writing contest that kicked off at the beginning of February. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Steve. So as the submissions continue to come in, we want to remind folks this is the final week to send in their haiku, and they can go to theshow.kjzz.org for details on how to enter. We'll reveal the name of our third winner here shortly. But first, I had the chance to sit down with Rosemarie Dombrowski. She's the inaugural Poet Laureate of Phoenix, and I began by asking her, just what does that term mean?
A Poet Laureate is essentially a literary advocate for either the state or the city or the nation. And since I was elected to be the Phoenix Poet Laureate, I am the literary advocate for the city of Phoenix, which means that I'm doing poetry programming throughout the city. I'm trying to increase the value and the visibility of poetry. I like to say that I'm trying to make poetry part of the vernacular in Phoenix. I want it to be a fixture, like street art, like other forms of art that people are more familiar with and unafraid of. And so that's part of the reason why I do literally take poetry to the streets.
And you say elected, so do you have to stump for something like this? Like, do I give campaign speeches to become the Poet Laureate?
Luckily, I didn't need any campaign funding for this.
How long is this office, if you will?
I am starting my third year currently, and so it was a two-year term, renewable for 2 years. And I've been officially renewed for 1 year, and that's only because we currently do not have a mayor. And I don't think that the budget has been solidified yet. But I'm pretty cheap. So I'm guessing that they will keep me on for that fourth year.
Well, and when it comes to writing poetry, it's not really the way to
It's not profitable. Cash. No. You get used to living on nothing and running programs on nothing.
It hasn't stopped your productivity because, I mean, you've been nominated for 5 Pushcarts, Best of Net nomination, also a 2017 Arts Hero Award. That's just outstanding among many other nominations and winnings. One of the things that I have noticed quite often is that kids, elementary school students, maybe middle school students, if they're first being introduced to writing poetry, if that still goes on, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been that age.
I think it's sporadic, right? Actually. Not in every school.
But it's often taught to younger children, right, as a first means of writing poetry. And then it sort of isn't taught anymore. And I wondered if you had any thoughts on that. And if you yourself teach the form?
Well, it's 3 lines, so it's obviously a good place to start, not just with kids, but with people who are unfamiliar with poetry and maybe not comfortable with writing or, you know, their own creative acumen. So it's 3 lines. I usually tell my students it's an observation and a reflection. And so it's external and then it's internal. And I think it's something that we might do, like when we're in nature. I think it's something we might do if we go to the botanical gardens. We look at something and we think about how beautiful it is, or we think about how, you know, a series of spines is reflecting the sun. And then we have a feeling about that. We just don't inscribe it, but that's essentially haiku.
This is National Haiku Writing Month, the month of February, because it's the shortest and the shortest form of poetry.
I think it's perfect for ADD culture. If we're not willing to admit that we all have a little bit of it now, come on.
Right.
I mean, it's not just a millennial thing. Of course we do. And I've probably always had it because if I don't have 16 tabs open at any given time on my computer and another 12 documents minimized and then some other hands-on project on this side of my desk and then some bills that I have to pay on this side of my desk, I mean, come on, we all have ADD. So for us to assume that anyone of any age is going to be able to sit down and read a short story within, you know, a 30-minute period and then attempt to mimic that form, that seems unrealistic to me. But with haiku, there can be a back and forth. There can be a dynamic sort of performative reading on the part of the teacher, on the part of the students. There can be a little bit of writing time, then sharing time, and then you can write another one. And again, the potential within those 3 lines is so great because if the first 2 are observation and that third is an interior reflection, I mean, that's the perfect dialectical balance. It's that interior-exterior interplay that I think is going on all the time that we're just not aware of. And haiku makes us aware of that. So in a way, it just makes us more human. It makes us have to feel something about the things that we're seeing. And that's what really excites me about the form. That and the brevity, of course.
One of the things that I personally like about haiku is it's like you're in the midst of a fog. It's not very clear. And so people can intuit, they can bring in a lot of different emotions. I mean, sometimes they're very stark and you sort of can get a perfect image of something. But oftentimes, there's a lot of room for interpretation. Do you find that to be the case with haiku?
I think so. I mean, I think there's a lot of room for interpretation within the poetic container, you know, whatever sort of subform that container is taking. And maybe that's not something that deters me from poetry, but it can deter other people from poetry. Here's how I like to sell the container of poetry. I like to tell people, this can hold fiction, it can hold nonfiction, it can hold history, it can hold political protest, it can hold the vastly personal and the vastly public. It's a ubiquitous container. It can hold anything. There is no other literary form that is unbound by those constrictions and those constraints. So in a way, even though people think poetry is full of rules, I don't get these line breaks, I don't understand these stanzas, that's secondary. That's secondary right. to the fact that the container can be fiction, nonfiction, and it can be both of those things simultaneously. In the ancient world, poetry was history. And a lot of contemporary poetry is also history. It's a modern day record of history. It's a way for us to record and process the things that are going on around us. And so that's a form of inscribing living history.
I like that image of what I might call a generic soda can, right?
That's good.
It just says grape soda on it, but it's not a brand name, for instance.
I love that. Now poetry is like the dollar store soda.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
That's great.
Rosemarie Dombrowski, who is a professor at Arizona State University at the downtown campus, and of course our poet laureate here in Phoenix. We want to thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you so much. This was great.
And now, Tom, after that conversation, the moment we've all been waiting for, who is this week's winner of the haiku contest?
Well, it's Joe Salembeer, who sent us a haiku to the show at kjzz.org. And just to back up for a second, this week, actually, 148 listeners sent in
twice
almost
as many
200 haikus. It was outstanding. We even got one snail mail submission. So people are definitely participating how they can. We also heard from some students over at Alhambra Elementary School District. But here's Joe's haiku. Games we're headed toward, cinema, McSally Ward, AZ checkerboard.
And Tom, you're really performing when you do that haiku.
Well, I was trying to, you know, channel my best Nicolas Cage from the movie Con Air as haiku has taken over the airwaves here in February.
Yeah, and someone reminded me his character name is Cameron Poe.
Right, or for maybe our purpose is Cameron Poetry.
Right, okay. Tom Maxidon, thank you, or Cameron, I guess, in this case, for the next couple of minutes. Thanks for joining us again.
Likewise. Thanks, Steve.